Yes, I was lost in the darkness, but Jesus heard me when I cried. His grace is more than I asked for, 'cause he brought this poor sinner to life. Now as I trust in my Savior, we walk hand in hand every day. Now I've had some joy and some sorrow, but with all my heart I can stay here on the journey.
Faithful. Security. All right. It's good to be here this morning. I thank the Lord for this great privilege that we have. And got in about 1 o'clock last night. That's when Brother Fugate said he got in. I didn't see him when he came in. But nevertheless, Brother Joey and I came in from Wilmington. We're right on the coast, down on the Atlantic Ocean. Beautiful place, probably the nicest city in the United States. And I don't say that just because I live there. It really is a great place to live. And I thank the Lord for the privilege that we have to be here today with you. And looking forward, I got up early this morning. I wanted to go down and see just which preachers would come down and I could just sit and listen and gain wisdom. And so I was downstairs and I had my breakfast, and Brother Smith and Dr. Carter, they were sitting there talking, and I was waiting for all of this wisdom. And I heard one joke after another joke after another joke after another joke. I said, man, you know, this is what preachers do when they are not preaching. They just tell jokes. And boy, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was a young Filipino there. Was he singing in the group this morning? Yeah, the little fellow. They kept picking on him because he's so small. And it's because all of us are wanting to be that size again. And we never will be. I saw Brother Coral come up and I thought, man, he hasn't lost a pound. And then I think to myself, I haven't either. You know, it's just hard to lose weight. It's easy to put it on, but it's hard to lose it. And I don't know. I've just given up on that. My wife, she gave up on it a long time ago as far as me losing weight. And she does try to encourage me, you know. She says, well, you're not as big as you think you are. And I that's encouraging, yeah. So, anyway, it's good to be here. I don't like this pulpit. I will tell you, I don't. I just don't like it. I have watched Dr. Angel on. There's no. It needs to be covered in here. You can see everything that the preacher's doing, you know. And I like to be hid, get behind something and hide. And I looked at this one, and I thought, my, you know, you see too much. But I do watch you on YouTube or Facebook, whatever you're on. It comes on and it says that you're on. And I stand and watch you, and I say, I still don't like that pulpit. But I like this church. Hasn't this people done a great job here? Boy, this is a church to die for. I don't know of a pastor in the country who would not like to have this place, you know, just sitting there for them. It's a beautiful place, preacher. You've done a good job. And I know that... there's a lot of hard work went into this. This didn't just happen. And Dr. Angel, your cousin, I think it is, will be with me in just a few months, Dr. Joy. And I look forward to her being coming to Wilmington. She is a medical missionary. And she's getting to the place where she's having little problems. And so she's going to be, I think, maybe working in the office more and doing more of the head work. But great lady. I look for her. Look forward to it come. It's a privilege to be able to be here today at the Revival Fires Conference. I can tell you this. I've been around now for 74 years, 54 years in the ministry. And I've seen a lot of preachers. But we are in the presence of greatness today with Dr. Coral. There is just nobody, and I'm not throwing off on the work of any of the rest of you, but there's just nobody that has done what he's done for us. Not just traveling back and forth across the country and wearing his body out for the Lord. Think about the books he has written. And I have a whole section in my office and then a whole section in our bookstore where people can get of his books. He is the only man that I know of that will take a subject and an hour and a half later he's finished with it. Did you get it? Oh, man. He comes to our place, and I just tell everybody ahead of time, I said, don't come to get out. We do not come to get out when Dr. Kroll comes. We come to stay. And I wish I could preach like him. Man, that is, he is just, he's my idea of a preacher. And I have just loved him for years and years and years and thank the Lord for him. And it's a great privilege to be on your conference. Thank you so much. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we stand before men who have done great works for you. And here we are today looking into their faces and thinking they could do such a better job than I'm going to do. And then these young fellows here, Lord, thank you for the sermon we just heard. The sermons we heard last year at this conference by young men. And we think about, God, give us more of those fellows. Because we look out and we see that so many of our fellows, their hair has gone from dark to white. You can just tell that our time here is not going to be much longer. And there's going to have to be somebody who will step in the place and keep the work going, keep reaching souls, keep training people, keep helping families. And Lord, I just thank you for men like Brother Gomez, who has a college, and Brother Fugate, who has a college. Lord, thank you for Brother Carter, who has a college, and all these fellows. I've probably missed some here this morning. A lot of these fellows, I don't even know them except by seeing their picture in the magazine. But I just pray that you would continue to bless, that these fellows would recognize that the hard work that's gone into building these churches is worthy of men to come in and to take it and to go on and not destroy it, but to keep on doing what we started out to do. And that is to reach this world with the gospel. Lord, help us, I pray, that we might be able to just say to these young fellows, we need you. We love you. We don't look down on you. We're not complaining about you. We are not preaching to you to try to say that you're not what we've had in the past. I expect that they will be greater than what we've had in the past because I know, Holy Spirit, you are capable and you are working in their life as you have in men through the ages. Raise up, continue to bless, and give us those fellows that will carry on this great ministry of reaching souls for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. Just want to read two verses there. Very quickly, I ask you, as you're sitting here this morning, are you Christians? I find today that there are so many folks who just don't seem to recognize what a privilege it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, what if he was here today? Oh, man. He changed this world, didn't he? One man, what he did. And, of course, we know that he was not just an ordinary man. But just think of what he did and the things that have been written about him. about his ministry and how he sent fellows out into the world. And in that first generation of Christians, that first group, the Bible records they turned the world upside down. And I don't think that was just a phrase that was used. I think those fellows were busy. Now, no doubt they were being chased. They had to go to places. And they were forced. And we have to be forced sometimes as well. We're not always, you know, energetic and willing to sacrifice and do the things that we do. But God is able to get us to do what he wants us to do. And I'm thankful for that privilege that I have to be one of those that he can look at and say, I'm going to move you a little bit more. I'm going to push you a little harder. I'm going to demand a little something else out of you. I'm just grateful that I have a Savior who looks down and sees me, an individual, out of billions of people on the face of this earth and says, I've got a place for him. I've got a place for him. And there's a place for every one of us who have named the name of the Lord Jesus. But I personally believe, and you probably believe this as well, this is nothing new. I personally believe today that maybe the greatest Christian that is mentioned in the Bible was the Apostle Paul. When I study behind him and I read behind him, I am just fascinated at how this man was willing to take whatever came his way and to keep going for the Lord Jesus. And I believe that one of the reasons that that happened is because Paul had a past. Every person in this room has a past. Your past will either help you to serve God or it will keep you from serving God. And it can be good or bad that it does that. I've seen individuals who had all of the possibilities in the world and all the talent in the world, and they made a mess of everything that they put their hand to. And yet I've seen others who came from nothing, and they could look back and say, there's not one thing in my past that would move me to be a great Christian, and yet they become great Christians. And they turn out great Christians, and they serve the Lord. Dr. Jim Vineyard, preacher, came to Wilmington, and he wasn't in my church, but he was in another church. Thank God he wasn't in mine. And he got preaching. He got really excited, and he hauled off. You know, Dr. Vineyard was a man. Most of us, we're trying to be men. He was a man. And he hauled off and hit the pulpit and busted it right down the middle. Well, for me, I would have been embarrassed. I would have said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'd have felt like I needed to write a check and buy a new pulpit. Dr. Vineyard got mad. And he started scolding the preacher. He said, if there had been a man in this place to start with, this wouldn't have happened. And I thought, man, why? You know, that's where we came from. I preached years ago behind your daddy. And it's been years ago. I didn't know Dr. Green. I did not know him. And he got up to preach. And when he finished, I was sitting back in the back, and I knew I was next. And I said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? I've never heard a sermon like that. I honestly believe Dr. Don Green was one of the great preachers that America's had. I don't know. I don't know where we could find. I told Brother Tim today, I said, when are you going to print his outlines? I need them. And I don't know that he ever will, but Dr. Don, boy, he preached. I won't ever forget his sermon that day. And he preached on Jacob. And I just sit and marveled. I was just so blessed by that sermon. You know, Brother Tim came from a great background. Amos said he was not a man that came from a pastor's home. His daddy wasn't a prophet. And yet God used him. The thought is, What's your background? Paul had a background. In the book of Philippians, he tells you what it is. When I read that background, I think, man, he must have been, must truly have been one of the smartest men of his time. And I think he probably was. But listen to what he says about himself. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, I'm reading Philippians 3:4. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Notice what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. If you're ever going to do anything for the Lord, you've got to get over who you are. You've got to begin thinking about what He can make you. It's all about Him. Ministry has to be about the Lord Jesus. In our day, today, if you've watched any of these fellows that are on TV, all of their ministry is about telling people how great they are. But when I read the Bible, what I found is how sorry I am. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything. Hell is where I should go. And yet Jesus has reached down and picked me up. And He's washed me, and He has put my feet on a solid rock, and He says, here's what I want you to do. Get over your past, and let's move on for the Lord. Don't let your past, whether it's good or bad, stand in your way of what Jesus can do in your life. Not only did He have a past, He also had a mistake. You know, a lot of people make mistakes. I've seen preachers really foul up. And Brother Joy was telling me today about a pastor that he had years ago. He did a simple thing. He was standing in the pulpit one day and he said something about somebody. And it was a member of his church. And he shouldn't have done that. But he did. And a few days later he found out that what he said was a lie. And he just put his hands in his face and his hands and he says, I'm finished. My ministry is finished. And Brother Joey said to me, he said, why did he say that? I said, I don't know. He said, couldn't he have just gone into the pulpit and said, I thought I was telling the truth, but I didn't. I was telling a lie. And I, any harm that I've done to this man's reputation, I'm sorry. And I would like to let you know that, you know, that if I'm not worthy to be your preacher, then just, you know, just let me know. But I'm truly sorry for what I did. You know, you have to understand that people make mistakes. And the Apostle Paul was not always Paul. He was one time a Jew whose name was Saul, and he, no doubt, might have. I was thinking about this last night, preacher. I don't know this, but I was thinking about this last night. I wonder if he was sitting on the Sanhedrin when they passed judgment against Jesus. He could very well have been. I don't know that he was, but I do know that he was standing there when Stephen was, they stoned him, and there was Saul, and he was giving consent to what was happening to this great Christian martyr. But later on in the next chapter, he had a change. And it was a change that came because he ran face to face with the Word of God. Let me tell you, you're never going to do anything unless you get settled what the Word of God is. All over this country, I was reading recently where the group that has put out the ESV, which is nothing more than the old RSV, and it's been redone by a bunch of Calvinists. And they are putting their support behind it. And they have printed millions of those. And it suddenly has become the Bible of record. But listen, it's the Bible that fundamentalists once said, that book is not worthy of being called a Bible. And they would not use the RSV in the past. What happened to them that they no longer have that discernment? And yet, as I have read a few verses in the ESV, I thought, this is ridiculous. A kindergarten student can compare the Word of God with this and can see this is not the Word of God. And yet, you've got preachers all over the country that are taking this up, and I don't know why they're doing it, and they're saying this is the thing. And don't you like this singing this morning? Now, I especially like the first group better than the last group because the girl made the group look much prettier. Amen. But, you know, and I apologize that I shouldn't say stuff like that. But it's still true. But whenever I hear music like that, I just get sick. When I see what we've got going on in our town. Now listen, you don't have to do what I do, okay? I don't know anything. I was just brought up in a time when preachers looked like preachers. I mean, that's the way we did. You got up in the morning, you shaved. Let me get up and you do that again. We got up in the morning and we shaved. And then we fixed our hair. And we put on our suit and we went out and we represented the Lord. Now, in our town, when they go to preach on Sunday morning, they wear sandals and shorts with their bony legs sticking out. You know, I always like looking at a man's leg when it looks like a toothpick in a sweet potato. You know, that just really turns me on. And these fellas are walking in and they get behind their pulpits with their little shorts on and they don't have a tie on to wear a coat and they stand up there and then they say, God is with us. God's not within a million miles of that place. And yet the people are flocking to it because they're going to see the show. And the show is not a beautiful auditorium like this. First thing we got to do is paint the ceiling black. And then we got to put on some lights that flash different colors. And then we got to put some smoke over here that comes up a little bit. And then we got to tear our dungarees so that you can see my knees. And then I'm standing up here, you know, looking like a reject from the Salvation Army and playing my little bandolin here. And I'm singing. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? Where did holiness go? I can tell you what was holy. When Saul of Tarsus was standing there that day, and he was consenting unto the death of Stephen, and Stephen looked up and said, I see Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, the power of God was there that day. The Spirit of the Lord was there. That's what we need. We need in our church, we need for people to recognize this is not a concert. We've come to meet with a holy God. And meeting with that holy God means that we're going to have to recognize that we're unholy. And there's some changes that need to be made. And I'm willing to make them. That's what I came here for. Brother Heil said, I didn't come to get out. I came to get something. And that's exactly why we go to church today, is to get something from the Lord. He came face to face with the Word of God in Acts chapter 9. And Saul of Tarsus was blinded for 3 days. At the end of that, you know what happened? He was a different man. Boy, he was different. I have a friend in town who's 80, I think he's 85 or 86 now. He'll get mad at me if I tell him that. I'll tell he's older than what he is. But he's 80-something. And he's having little problems, still pastoring. And his health is beginning to deteriorate, but his desire to serve is not deteriorating. He's still a soul winner. He's still trying to reach people with the gospel. And I was talking to him one day, and I said, where do you think Saul went for 3 years when he was in the desert of Arabia? Brother Hackworth said, I believe he's with Jesus. He said, I thought he had a 3-year seminary course. And Jesus taught him face to face the gospel of grace. You say, well, you got any doctrine for that? No. But somebody taught him, didn't they? When he came back and he met Peter face to face, and he said, Peter, you're a problem. You act one way with the Gentiles and another way with the Jews. You need to get this thing straight. The gospel's for the whole world. It's no longer just for the Jew. And of course, that helped Peter. But I think it helped Peter because Paul had had an experience personally with Jesus. Everybody needs a personal experience with Jesus. You can't ride on the coattails of somebody else. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get out and dig it for yourself. And when you start doing that, God's going to do something for you. After he's trained, he begins to teach others. Boy, I think what he would have taught us today is that you need to get in the book. And you fellows are in college. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You need to get in the book. This is an amazing book. You know, it covers in the period of time that those fellows was writing. It took over, we got about 1,600 years. That's amazing, isn't it? My favorite preacher, though he's in heaven, and I always hold Brother Denny responsible for this. I told Brother Denny time after time after time, I said, you need to book Dr. Tom Malone to come to peace. And he said, I will. I will. I'm going to get him. Never could get our schedules together, could we? Never could. Dr. Tom was my favorite preacher. I loved that man. And I just followed behind him. And now when he's on our radio station at night, we play him. And I just cancel everything, sit down and listen to Dr. Tom. I want to hear what he's got to say, even though I've heard it 100 times. I still want to hear it one more time. Because he always shares with me something in the book. This book was written by over 40 different authors. And there's no place that you're going to find where it will ever disagree with something else. It's an amazing book. Now, that wasn't true of Dr. Malone. I read his book. I forget which one it was, but I read his book, and I hadn't gone very far before I found that he had a mistake. And I thought, that's just like me. And this isn't the man's book. This is God's book. When I pick it up and read it and it says something, I know it's so. I don't have to say, well, I wonder if that's so. No, it's so. It's true. And as I go into this book, I began to realize that there was all kinds of men that he used. He didn't just use doctors, although he did use a doctor. He didn't just use theologians, although he did use a theologian. He didn't just use tax gatherers, although he did use one. He didn't use just sheep herders, but he did use some. And he has a king and all other kinds of folks writing scripture. But really, there's not a word of it that comes from a man. It was all God breathed. If you ever grasp that, This is God-breathed. It's not the word of a man. It's the word of God. You can have confidence in it. Paul would have taught others about the Scriptures, and he did. He would have taught us to pray. I think we need to pray more. He would have taught us to be faithful. I think we need to learn to do that. It is sad that our fundamental movement has been marked by fella after fella after fella who messed up. But don't just put that on us. The Southern Baptists have the same problem. And now, the New Day Hillsong, they got the same problem. And you look over and you find it in, hey, listen, the devil is going to work wherever he can. He's going to destroy your testimony if he can. Paul would say, be faithful. Be faithful. Watch out. We're in a battle. This is a battle. Get up every morning and put on your armor and get ready because he's coming. And when he comes, he's coming to seek and destroy. And he doesn't care who it is. Paul suffered. I think we'll suffer some if we're in the ministry. But I think it's the greatest life in the world. There's nothing like it. Oh, I just wish I had the time to tell you. When I started off, I started pastoring when I was 19. You say, what did you know when you was 19? Nothing. But I learned a whole lot real quick. And it didn't take long before I began to realize that church is fun. Why, I'm standing preaching one day and I'm in a serious mood and I want everybody to be serious and I want you to pay attention. And this dear lady comes walking down the aisle. We didn't have a bathroom. We had a building out back. And she, that Sunday morning, had wore her pantyhose. And bless her heart, when she got up, she caught the roll of toilet paper in her pantyhose. And she comes walking down the aisle. Now listen, I'm on my third point. This is time to give the invitation. This is the time. And the whole church is laughing. They're all going in an uproar. I'm thinking, the funniest things in the world happens in church. Why, if you want to have fun, come to church. Young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Happy Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Leave your pocket razors and your guns at the door and you'll hear more stories than you've ever heard before. Amen. You'll have fun in church. But you're going to suffer a little. But the sufferings will be worth what you're going through. Lastly, I would say this. He held nothing back. Doesn't matter how you start. Although it does matter. Get the best education you can get. Be around the preachers that are close to God. Get men and women to pray for you. But the most important thing on your docket needs to be when the final hour comes, finish well. Finish well. Let it be said, he was faithful all his life. You can say that of Paul. He's talking to Timothy. the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but unto all those. You know, they say, I'm not a brave person. Matter of fact, one of our ladies came to church Sunday, and she came in the church and she says, you be proud of me. She says, I got in the car and there was a lizard in it. And I said, Lord, you take care of the lizard. I'm going to church. And I thought, God, she's so brave. If there was a lizard in my car, I'd have slammed the door and never got back in it again. One of the boys in church said, I'll go get him out for you. I said, bless your heart, son. You're so brave. Go get him. Not me. I'm not brave. But I can just imagine Paul when they took him out. He probably knelt down. He put his head on that block. Yes, sir. And they cut it off. I don't know. But because I have such confidence in him, I believe he would say, while he was dying, I believe he'd say, if you put your trust in Jesus, he'll save you. Yeah. Yeah. And he could have been people saved that day while he was dying. Can we pray together? Father, I'd like to pray for all these preachers here, these young men. Great men. They've got dreams. Oh, they've sold out to you. I know that there's times when they close their eyes at night and they dream and they think they're going to preach to millions, and maybe they will. But the truth is, they'll preach wherever you let them. And they'll do whatever you will allow them to do. I just pray you'll fill them. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. May they surrender to you. And may they every morning and every night of their life say, dear God, I'm nothing. I came from nothing. But by your grace, I'll serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day I hope and pray, I'll hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen.
Our heads are bowed. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. And if you want to get in on that prayer that was just prayed, why don't you come down and present yourself as a candidate for that prayer that was just made.